Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America. Great to have you with us on the program today. Our guest on today's This Week in America, John Sinise, is a lifelong believer in the power of fantasy as a way to explore the challenges of being human and humane in a difficult world. He was born and raised in Altoona, Pennsylvania, a graduate of Notre Dame and the University of Massachusetts at Amherst. In 2013, he retired from teaching economics and business courses at Penn State Schuylkill. And since his retirement from teaching, well, he's been busy as an author. He's published three books: Too Many Motives for Murder, that's a mystery novel; The Fantasy, The Sorceress, and Ariande's War. Author John Sinise joining us on This Week in America. John, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
You have some retirement. You've really been busy with your imagination and sitting at a computer and writing these books. What kind of fun has this been for you? Because you finally got the time where you can follow through with these stories.
It's been great because I finally do have it. I've always wanted to be a writer, but during my career, I never had enough time to work on it. And I think I would have gone crazy with boredom if I hadn't had something creative to do with writing the books.
And these stories are excellent. The one we're talking about in particular is the Sorceress. Give us a little background on this, because this really is an interesting tale, goes in many different directions. Give us a little bit of background on where this starts.
Oh, okay. You mean what actually occurs in the book, or the reason why I wrote the book?
Well, let's start with what's in the book.
Okay. It concerns an imaginary community called Bezreel, which has a very unique religion, and they've suffered a lot of persecution and because of the fact that the rumors are that they practice sorcery, and people are terrified of sorcery as that has very negative connotations that can be used to injure people. And it turns out that they really do have powers of sorcery, but they usually use it for good rather than bad, but they're still persecuted, and the novel begins with three of them being on trial as witches, and the penalty would be death.
Yeah, it grips you right off the bat when you start, and you've got the three, and they're facing serious charges for sorcery. Where did this story come from?
That's a very good question, and I wish I knew the answer. I guess as it came from all sorts of books that I've read or movies that I've seen. As you probably know, it seems like today in the movies, half the films that are out there involve superheroes or mythologies of one sort or another.
Yes.
And I've been reading those for a long time. Like, I think I was the generation in college that first became enamored with The Lord of the Rings, and recently the Harry Potter craze. And another writer, I don't know how many people know him, Philip Pullman, who wrote his Dark Materials, three volumes thing that was turned into one movie, and a sequel is about going to be published later this year.
When did this begin for you? I get the impression it was at an early age you developed this interest.
Well, I think when I was in high school, I took up one of these offers and joined the science fiction book club, and where back then you could get books for just a couple of dollars, which is about all I could afford back then. And I really loved reading science fiction and like Isaac Asimov and people like that. The thing with sorcery, I mean, I think I was really enamored of, I don't know whether you ever saw the old TV show Charmed.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Which was one of the first things that really presented witches in a good light. And of course, in my novel, there's going to be a conflict between those that use their witchcraft for good and those who use it for evil.
You know, that's interesting because as you read, you get there are, besides the entertainment factor, there are the messages. And I don't know if you intentionally want people to have a takeaway other than the entertainment part of it. But the message is that, okay, here's something that's good, and here's something that also can be used for negative purposes as well.
Well, I think any type of power, it can be used either way.
Yes.
And witchcraft, if it existed, would be a type of power. And I think historically, most people feared it because of it was a type of power that they did not understand. And so to say that somebody was a witch historically was to accuse them of a crime rather than praise them for their powers.
Well, you talk about the transition from being an avid reader of fantasy, of science fiction, the books that you had talked about, to deciding that, you know, I've got stories that I would like to tell as well, and formulating those stories, because this story of the sorceress is really well written. Talk about that transition from being a reader to actually putting it down on paper yourself.
Okay. Let me go way back to when I was in college at Notre Dame. I took a course in creative writing my sophomore year, and I put so much effort into the short stories that I wrote, only to get such, you know, paltry feedback. I just thought I really don't have the talent. I always wanted to be a writer. I didn't think I had the talent, but I kept reading more and more. And I think, you know, when I first tried to write at Notre Dame, I was like 19 years old, and I don't think very many people at 19 really have much to say.
Oh, yes, yes.
And so I think waiting another 50 years was actually a good thing in terms of the quality of my writing. I mean, it's something I always wanted to do. And when I started out, I had no idea whether it was going to work or not. And I decided to create books of what I had been reading recently, which had mainly been either mystery novels or fantasy novels. And I've enjoyed the process so much. And what I really need now are more readers, which is one reason why I'm delighted to be on your program.
Well, and we're happy to be able to spread the message, and it has to be really a rewarding feeling when you do get feedback from someone who's read the book and enjoys the story. Yes. What's that like? And let's take through the process. When you get a book in your hand for the first time, the first book that John Sinise has written, you've got it in your hand. I mean, your name is on the cover. You've got this cover that's an excellent cover, and you've got all the pages. What was that like when you held your book?
Oh, the first time it was, I think the feeling was I actually did it. I mean, because when you're writing it, you've heard so many stories about people taking 20 years to write a book and we're never getting it published.
Yes.
And I think that's going to be me. And so when it actually comes out in print, you feel I did it. And believe me, that first book was so much harder to write than the second one.
Well, I can imagine it would be difficult. In fact, it was years getting to the point, obviously, of sitting down and telling the story. Once you get through the, okay, this is my book, and then you get people that say, well, the friends, family, people that you don't know that read the book, that give you feedback, that enjoy this. What's that like, that you've really enlightened their lives by sharing your story with them?
It's great. And I would assume that anybody in the arts, whether it's as a writer or an actor or a singer or a dancer, you have that same thrill that, you know, I'm actually doing something that other people are enjoying and might even learn something from.
On This Week in America, our guest today is John Sinise. That's S-I-N-I-S-I. The book we're talking about, he's got three. We're talking about The Sorceress, Book One, The Prophecy. Books are available at bookventure.com and the bookstore, of course, at Amazon, barnesandnoble.com. You can link on directly to get information by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. I get the impression, I said retirement, that's probably not true. You just sort of shifted careers here, didn't you?
To me, that is what you need to do.
Yeah.
The quit your job where you've earned a living for so many years and then do nothing. Unless you have, you need interest once you retire.
Yeah, and this is an interest that goes back years. I get the feeling, we started by talking about this, this is the time of your life. I really love your enthusiasm and your passion for what you're doing.
Well, if you were to visit my apartment, every room, there are bookshelves everywhere.
And you're using all of the knowledge that you've accumulated reading those over the years into your career now. Let's go back to the story a little bit. I want to talk about some of the main characters in there. You gave us the overview. Lord Soren is prominent. Ruthless Lord Soren is prominent. Exactly who is that character?
Well, basically, it takes place in what you'd say a early modern, late feudal society that has been it was a kingdom a long time ago, but it's been fragmented into dozens of mini states, independent provinces. They still call themselves a kingdom, but there's no central authority. And Lord Soren is one of dozens of these feudal lords throughout the kingdom. But his ambition is to reunite the country with him as king. And the only way he can do that is he uses both war and diplomacy. I mean, he's not a bad person, but he's a ruthless person who will do anything to achieve his goal of reuniting the country.
Yeah, we get the politics as we're reading the book, The Sorceress, and what is going on, the lay of the land politically at the time. And William is an interesting character as well. Talk about him for a second.
What character did you mention?
William.
Oh, yeah, William. Okay, both the lead character, the sources, and William, they are from a group called the Bezrielites, Bezriel, and they're both sorcerers. Now, William is much older and much more powerful, and his goal is to understand, to use his sorcery, not only to understand nature and human beings, but to control them. And he wants to keep making his sorcery deeper and deeper, but he needs resources. And eventually, the only way he can get these resources that he needs is by selling the services to Lord Sormin in his campaign to reunite the kingdom. So it's a marriage of convenience. Sormin needs William to help him become king, and William needs Sormin to finance his research.
You've got a diversity of characters, a diversity of motives that are at play in the Sorceress Book One, The Prophecy. How elaborate was that to sit and to, did you plot the story ahead of time? You talk to some authors that have everything in an outline and others that sort of like let it flow as they're writing the story.
Well, sort of both. I thought I had it all plotted out in advance, but I quickly discovered that once I had laid the foundation, you know, with who the characters were, then they dictated what was going to happen. I would write something and they would say, no, that's not what I would say. That's not what I would do. And so once the characters have their own real character and logic, you have to follow that. So it came out very different than I envisioned it initially. I did have an original idea, but I diverged from it dramatically as the story unfolded.
You know, that's interesting because what you're saying is, as you're writing the story, for example, Lord Sormin, that's just not somebody in your mind and on paper. There is a Lord Sormin, right? I mean, these people are sort of like living objects that are guiding your story.
That's correct. They begin to come alive in your mind, and hopefully they'll also do that for the reader.
And they certainly will. The book is The Sorceress, Book One, The Prophecy. The other book is Ariande's War. Talk about her character and the book.
Okay. Ariande's War is the sequel to The Sorceress, and now she's very different. Her mother was a healer. I mean, she was a traditional healer, using herbs and other therapies, and then she would use her sorcery to make them more effective. And she's very much a pacifist who just thinks you accept the world the way it is and you try to do good to the people that you know. And Ariadne wants to follow in her mother's footsteps. Unfortunately for Ariadne, she discovers as a teenager that her powers are not the healing powers of her mother, but the destructive powers of a warrior. I mean, for example, she can cause explosions at a distance. She can hurl objects through the air. And she has these powers. She doesn't want them, but she has them. And then because of these powers, everybody wants her to take part in the civil war that's going on. And for a pacifist to have military abilities is not something that she enjoys one bit.
Yeah, there's that confliction there that we follow in the books. When you're working on something, and a few minutes left and we'll talk about the novel, the mystery. As you're doing this, is there research? Is there background that you do? Is it from just your reading where you have this knowledge?
There's not too much research, although every now and then, you know, I would do a little bit of research. I mean, since it's a fictional world, there's not a whole lot of historical research you can do.
It's basically John's world. Whatever you want, you've created that.
Yes, and I would say that is indeed the case. the other thing I would mention about the book is that when her mother was pregnant with Ariadne, she has a prophetic dream, and a figure from the past of her people appears to her and tells her she must name the child Ariadne, and this child will have tremendous powers and will lead her people either to freedom or to destruction. She doesn't tell her daughter of this prophecy until her powers emerge. When Ariadne hears of the prophecy, she is terrified. She thinks there's no way I can save my people, so therefore, if the prophecy is true, it must mean I'm going to be the source of their own, of my people's destruction.
You know, I mentioned in the beginning, you discovered belief in the power of fantasy as a way to explore the challenges of not only being human, but humane, and what's can be a very difficult world. Talk a little bit about that and the role of fantasy, the role of the arts in general in helping us get through difficult times and give us a little bit of mental diversion from time to time.
Well, okay. I think, you know, I think the books that inspire us, at least that inspire me, are those in which ordinary people find the energy and the courage to do deeds that are beyond the ordinary, that they can help other people. Whether it's like in my book, she has a destiny to help her, save her people, but it just could be something as simple as having the energy to help someone that needs the help on an everyday basis. And and the arts, whether it be a movie or a novel or a play, can take you into a world that's not your own, where people face these crises and find a way to succeed through them. I mean, I've always been tremendously inspired by great works of literature, beginning, like, let's say, with Homer's Odyssey down to Harry Potter.
You know, and boy, now is the time for escapism sometimes, just to get out of 2017 and yes. And to go somewhere else. And you've created a world that I like to visit. It's The Sorceress, Book One, The Prophecy by John Sinise. Spelled, by the way, S-I-N-I-S-I, as you're looking for it. You'll find it under The Sorceress. The book's available at Amazon, at Book Venture, Barnes & Noble. You can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Couple minutes left. I want to talk about A Drastic Departure, Too Many Motives for Murder, and I'm reading a review of that, and they really like that. They like the sleuths that you've got in there that are working together, and they hope this is just the beginning. Talk about doing a mystery like this. It's different than the other two. Where did this come from?
Well, basically, I've been fascinated with mysteries all my life. I have a fantastic collection of them. Like, for example, I love like all the Rex Nero Wolf novels and many, many others. And I just wanted to give it a try. And the murder takes place very early in the book, and a man is murdered inside a Catholic church. And because the murder takes place in church, the entire town is outraged, you know, such a sacrilegious thing to do. But then it turns out the man who was murdered, although he went to church every day, was not a very nice man. And he had many, many enemies because he constantly kept telling other people about their own faults and their own sins. And he was one of these holier-than-thou people. And so first everybody that knew him becomes a suspect.
Yeah, and it's interesting, all of the people, the different motives that are possible in terms of this. And it's you do a very nice job in that book in laying things out methodically as this is going. So for as a reader, sometimes you get lost because they jump all over the place and nothing makes a whole lot of sense, and it's totally suspending any type of reality. I can follow where you're going. How much fun was that in writing, and the difficulty of writing out something that, okay, these are not just idle thoughts. I'm going to connect all of these so they make some sense for the reader.
Exactly. And I don't know how true this would be of other mystery writers. To tell you the truth, I was only halfway through the novel when I myself figured out who committed the murder.
That's fascinating. So you again, it's one of those where the people don't understand that, I guess, that aren't authors, but you don't sit down and it's like, okay, I'm going to go from point A to B to C to whatever. You sort of let the book dictate where you go. You're along for the ride. You're enjoying it as much as we are.
Exactly. That's how it worked for me. I'm sure there are many authors that do it the other way around, but that's how it worked for me, all three books that I've written.
The only difference is you get to read it before we do, as being sort of the author of the book.
John, I get to read the 100 different drafts that went into the final version.
Well, yeah, and let's close with that. How many drafts does it take, rewrites, before you really feel like, okay, this is good, I got to move on now?
Well, I mean, I think as you're writing the book, after you've written chapter one, when that seems okay to you, then you write chapter two and so on. But until the book is finished, you keep going back and revising the early chapters also.
So you never just sort of leave it go. It's like, okay, I'm going to sort of move on.
I always kept going back. You try to move on, but you have to keep going back, especially in a mystery novel. You have to make sure that the clues are consistent, that the end corresponds to the beginning.
Yes, and you do that so well. This has been fun. Our guest on the program, John Sinise, S-I-N-I-S-I, talking about his books, The Sorceress, Book One, The Prophecy, the book we spent most of the time talking about, the other book in that series, Arande's War, and the mystery, the murder mystery novel, Too Many Motives for Murder. All of those are available at Amazon, at bookventure.com. All you've got to do is click on our website as well and go directly to information on John's book. So what are you working on now?
It's going to be another mystery involving the same detectives as in the Too Many Motives for Murder.
Very good.
Going back to that, and I've gotten it started, but hopefully I'll get it finished by the end of the year.
What's it like when you feel like, okay, I've got these two characters and they seem to be resonating with they get along well in terms of the context of the book, but people really enjoy this. It's sort of like hitting gold, isn't it, when you've got something that clicks
it is. And, and especially in the mysteries, because if you think about it, virtually every major mystery writer has a continuing detective and characters that could go from novel to novel.
And you have that. Boy, this has been fun. John Sinise, our guest on the program. You can get all of his books, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Book Venture, wherever. And you can link onto our website and go directly to the books. That's J-O-H-N-S-I-N-I-S-I. John, this has been fun. Congratulations on all the success in your new career. I'm not going to say retirement, your new career. Good luck with all the projects. We'd love to have you back to talk about the most current book. Thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you, Rick, for having me. I really enjoyed it, and I hope to be able with you again sometime.
Look forward to that. The Sorceress, Book One, The Prophecy, John Sinise, our guest on This Week in America. Information, of course, available at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.